That we may feel the breath and play of your Spirit. Unclench our hands that we may reach out to one another in openness and generosity. Free our lips that we may speak for those whose voices are not heard. Unblock our ears to hear the cries of the brokenhearted. And open our eyes to see Christ in friend and stranger, that in sharing our love and pain, our poverty and prosperity, we may move towards that peace and justice which comes from you, and so be bearers of divine reconciliation. Loving God, you make us in your image. Forgive us when we fail to see your image in each other, when we give in to greed and indifference, when we do not question the systems that are life-denying. As we are made in your image, Lord, let us live in your image and be Christ-like in service, endurance, and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join together in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The psalm this morning was Psalm number 30, and I wanted to share you like a meditation reflection taken from Psalms Now as Psalm 30. In a world where there are people who assume you no longer exist, I am compelled to proclaim your praises, O Lord. I cannot define or describe you, but I know from personal experience your power and presence in my life. There was a time when I screamed, "Good Lord, where are you?" Then you touched my despairing soul with healing and delivered me from my private hell. Thus I shout your praises, O my God, and exhort all who know you do the same. There are times when I feel your anger, but even then I know your concern and love for me remain eternal. Then my nights of despair resolve into the dawn of new joy. There was a time when I thought I was secure among my material accumulations. However, they gathered like a cloud to blot out the face of God, and I was left empty and unfulfilled. I finally came to my senses and returned to you, O God. Lord, I said, my well-deserved damnation would also be a loss to you. I cannot praise you from the pits of hell or proclaim your loving kindness from the grave of eternal death. So have mercy, Lord, and help me out of this dark fog. And you turn my griping into gratitude, my screams of despair into proclamations of joy. Now I can explode with praises, and I will spend eternity in thanksgiving to you. Amen. We sing again. If you're using a book, it's number 250. Jesus calls us all the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his voice is sounding, saying, "Christian, follow me."
Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
A reflection. I'd had enough. The last few days had been too full of questions, too full of surprises that shocked and hurt and made me wonder, was Jesus really alive? Had our hopes conjured up a ghost in dark rooms and early morning shadows? What should I do now? I did the safe thing, the familiar thing, the childhood thing. I went fishing. The others must have felt like me. They needed no asking. They joined me in the boat and we cast off in the moonlight. All night we fished, but there was nothing swimming in our nets. That was familiar, all right, but reassuring. Nothing had really changed. Perhaps we could pick up the old life again. Abandon the last 3 wandering years and do again the old things that we did well together. We wouldn't forget him. We couldn't. His stories, his encounters, the way he changed people he met, the way he looked at us and loved us. Those memories would always stay with us, stirring up warm recollections inside us. We could live with those thoughts, but now we were ordinary people again, part of the crowd, earning our living, enjoying home comforts and family laughter and tears. As light dawned, we sailed homewards. A man shouted to us from the shore to put out our nets. He must have been able to see the fish swarming near the boat. When we did, our nets filled, making it too heavy to pull aboard. I was about to shout my thanks when John pulled my arm and said, "That man, it's Jesus." My world turned round, new light flooding into its darkness. I jumped from the boat and waded towards him. My friends followed, adjusting the boat's sails to compensate for the net's weight. He must have been fishing too. On a beach fire, I could smell his catch grilling. And he said to me, "Bring some more fish to put on the fire." I turned back and helped drag in the net. A mass of slithering scales dancing in the dawn light. And then he spoke again. "Come and have breakfast." What kind of ghost was this that cooked our breakfast? He handed us bread and hot fish and sat down with us to eat. A thousand questions were on my lips as I shared that meal, and I wanted to ask them. There, in that mixture of bread and fish and friends, I knew that I still loved him, that I couldn't keep him in my memories. He is part of who I am, what I have to do and be, and I want to be with him.
Thank you, Janet and Elaine. Our hymn is from the book 248. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest."
Thank you. from Acts to the Apostles, chapter 9, commencing at verse 1, is a passage entitled Saul's Conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, but did not eat or drink anything. Now in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here now with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. May God add his blessing to that reading from his word.
Thank you, David. Have you seen the light? Not necessarily a bright external light, but an internal light spreading warmth and purpose through your entire being. The one thing about Saul's experience on the road to Damascus, and I know it's a story that we have read and talked about many times, but it was that it stands out as a declaration that God's love knows our personal needs and steps forth to meet them, to guide us in his way, even if it does not always knock us to the ground in the process. But Saul was a determined man and had a purpose in what he wanted to accomplish as his end game, if you like. He had been doing what he liked, what he thought best, and what his will dictated, and nothing or nobody was going to stop him. He'd been on this course of murderous direction of persecuting Christians. Was it because he couldn't understand why Christians would face such suffering and loss with seemingly serene and unafraid? What was the secret that these people held? Is it, as is so often the case, that Saul couldn't understand the devotion of the disciples and their complete acceptance and understanding of God's will? So instead of the entrance to Damascus that had been his focus, the walking into Damascus in command and taking these Christians away, he was led in blind and defenseless to be told what was his way forward, not for him to tell people what their way forward was. Ananias was terrified at the thought of meeting Saul and of what the Lord asked him to do. And as with most of us, Ananias was kicking against the task that God had given him. There had to be a catch somewhere. And was Saul playing a game of pretending to be blind, ready to wait for his moment and pounce? The Lord reassured Ananias that Saul had become his instrument, who he had chosen, and he would show Saul how he would sacrifice in the Lord's name. I'd like to read a reflection from the reading that's taken from Ananias' point of view. Let's be honest, I was terrified, absolutely terrified. We'd been trying to avoid him, hiding away for dear life, our hearts trembling as we waited for the thud of the footsteps that would spell the end. So you can imagine, I thought I was dreaming, either that or off my head, when I felt this sudden urge to go and see him. Saul, the very name sent shivers down our spines, avowed enemy of the church, persecutor of all who followed Christ, determined to wipe out every last believer. That's why he'd come to Damascus, to drag us back in irons, and he would have shown no mercy. We all knew that. Yet somehow I couldn't get the voice out of my head. Go and see him. I tried to fight it, told myself it was a trick of the mind, did my level best to think of something else. But it was no good. I know God was calling me. So I went and I found him, and discovered Jesus had found him first. He was blind, you know, totally blind. Yet he told me he had seen the light, that he had been able to see more clearly than ever before. And as he spoke, tears rolled down his face. I knew what he meant, but I had my doubts at first. Well, so would you, wouldn't you? I thought it was a trap, some cunning plan to worm his way into our inner circle and catch us all. I was waiting for him to suddenly leap up, eyes flashing hatred, ready to devour his prey. But it didn't happen. When I reached out and touched him, finally overcoming my fear, he looked at me for the first time, and there was only love. I still remember that day so clearly. I shall never forget the sheer terror as I stood outside his door, as I raised my hand to knock, as I set foot into the room and saw him. But I shall never forget also the expression of his when he opened his eyes. The expression of a man who had found peace. I'm so glad Jesus gave me the courage I needed. He'd accepted Paul. He'd valued him. He loved him. But he needed someone else to do the same. Now, as Christians, we become God's messenger, and sometimes the message isn't what we would like to do. A little like life, I suppose, we have to take the good with the bad. Whichever path God decides to send us down, we can always know that it is the right path, and we go with all his love and support. No matter what our lives were or are now, we can all be turned around to God's will, to live as he directs. We all have experiences of hearing God's voice and possibly changing our direction in life. But this happens with God in control, although not always in such a spectacular fashion as Saul. Let us pray. Loving God, there are times in our lives when you call us to tasks that seem beyond us, tasks we would rather avoid. We hear your voice, but we do not feel up to the challenge. Our natural inclination is to run away. Yet if you ask us to do something, you will give us strength to do it. Give us the courage then to respond when you call, knowing that however things may seem, you are always able to transform them in ways far beyond our expectations. Amen. The stewards will wait upon you for your offering. Heavenly Father, all that we are and all that we have comes from your grace. Please accept these gifts of money, of prayers, and of ourselves, and lead us to use them wisely in your service, Lord. Amen. Our next hymn from the hymn book is number 707. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Come together in our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Let us gather with our prayers before God, who knows each of us by name. Father, we thank you that your church is made up of real people, that it is a school for sinners, and that you can work with us and through us straight away. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Father, we pray for the newly baptized and those that have recently returned to you. Help us as your church to support them well and delight in them as members together of the body of Christ. Here I am, Lord, send me. Father, we pray for your strength and protection against all hypocrisy and double standards in our society. We pray for a spirit of genuine service among all who lead and in all areas where we have authority. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Father, we pray that you will make our homes and our relationships places where people know, by the way that we look at them and treat them, that they are valued, cherished, and respected for who they are. Here I am, Lord, send me. Father, as we call to mind all who have learned to regard themselves with contempt, draw them near to them and whisper their true name, so that they discern the truth of your love and respect for them, and use our lives to affirm one another. We pray, Lord, for all the trouble spots in this world of ours, where there has been disaster, where there is terrible war, and all the unspeakable things that human can do to human. Be with them, Lord, and offer your help of peace. Here I am, Lord, send me. We pray for the sick in mind and body, and those who have recently died, commending them to the joy and safekeeping of your love. And we pray for this town of Taunton and the community around us and within this congregation. We pray for all those who need your help and support, Lord, in whatever way. Hold them in your loving arms, Lord, and guide them through. We give thanks for all who know and love us and help us grow in faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn in the book is number 88. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation.
Thank you.
Light of the world, infiltrate our darkness. Light of the world, restore our strength. Light of the world, illuminate our pathway and grant us your peace that we may find our way home to you. Amen.